I am introducing our speaker today, Robin Bradley. Some of you may recognize her. She and her husband, Zach, were on staff here for how long? A couple years. He was one of our church planners in residence. And while they were here, I think y'all kind of headed up the newlywed ministry during that time, right? Yes, it was super fun. That's actually when my husband and I started coming to church here. We had just moved back from North Carolina and had heard awesome things about the newlywed ministry. And so we jumped in and met Robin and Zach. I think our first Sunday we all went to lunch with a group, and they're just really fun. So if any of you don't know them, and then some of you may. And so since then, they've gone on to plant Brookhaven Presbyterian Church just down the road a little bit. So they are not physically at Perimeter very often as much since they're so have so much going on there. Robin is a licensed therapist with a specialization in sex therapy, so she is going to take that and run with that for us today.
Yeah.
So here is Robin.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much for having me. And like she said, we were here not too long ago, so it's really fun to be back. So today, I was running late, obviously, as you saw me come in, and we just set up my computer, and I'm going to be doing this without my notes, so just buckle up. We'll just see what happens. But I am talking about keeping the romance alive, and I think that's really appropriate because it's, you know, February and Valentine's and all that stuff coming up. But I was thinking about this talk before, you know, coming here, and I have 3 kids, 6 and under, and honestly, I was thinking that if I were you, I might not come to this talk, not like you. Because I was thinking about it, and I was like, you know, what if I get there, and I'm going to leave feeling super, like, guilty and feeling really burdened and like, oh, my goodness, I've got to go do 15 things to, like, spice up my life with my husband. And I don't know about you, but my daily life doesn't really feel like I have tons of extra for that. So welcome. I just want you to know that that is not my intent. My intent today is not for you to feel stressed or for you to leave feeling burdened or that you have a list of 15 things to do. At the very least, get to sit for a minute without your kids and have some coffee and talk to people who are your own age and like in your own stage, and that's really great. And then if you want to, you can leave with one thing. That's like literally it. I'm going to have you write these things down, and then you pick one thing that you go home with. Like literally just one. That's it. If you try to take 3, you only take one, because let's be honest, you may not even have time for one, but maybe one. Definitely not 3. Okay, anyway, so this is like, I had a lot of fun going on the interwebs and looking at all these different memes. I don't know. I just thought this was funny. Romantic nicknames you can call your lover to get them in the mood. And he's saying, or she's saying, come to me, flute maggle. And he says, no thanks. Anyways, okay, that's funny. I also really liked number 9, international crab cakes. And, old banana chips. Anyways, this is, I don't know who that is. Yeah, so try those on as well. That could be your one thing if you want. Write down flute maggle. All right, so as we get started, you know, I also did a big Google search of, you know, keeping the romance alive in marriage, and especially even after kids, and especially while you're parenting young kids. And it comes with its own set of challenges and excitement. But there were tons of articles online about how to keep the romance alive. And that is actually why it made me realize that it would be very stressful, because I started reading through those and feeling super stressed about all the things that it was telling me to do. So, like, in the middle of the evening, like, jump up and start slow dancing with my husband in the living room. And it sounds super romantic. I think people could do that, you know, right? But I was like, I'm not going to do that. I'm too tired. Once I'm on the couch, I'm on the couch until I get into the bed. So I don't know if you're like that. So I started thinking, okay, what is this thing, this romance that they're saying that we need to keep alive in our marriage? And so I went to the good old Google Dictionary. And here we are. Romance, a feeling of excitement and mystery associated with love. Love, especially when sentimental or idealized, an exciting, enjoyable love affair, especially one that is not serious, a quality or feeling of mystery, excitement, and remoteness from everyday life, and then wild exaggeration, picturesque falsehood. So when I'm reading over this, this is also making me feel a little bit more stressed, but also I'm already reading these feeling very disconnected with a lot of these different words. And let me see what my next slide is, because remember how I told you I don't know my notes anymore? Let me just see real fast. Okay, yep, we're not there yet. But I was going to say, I think that there are so many things that are unique to having young kids and parenting young kids that make this feel pretty disconnected. So, for example, when I think about my life on a daily basis, I have a lot of mystery in my life already. It's a lot of unknowns, right? Like you know, a school project that's due in 2 hours, a smell in my minivan that I just haven't really been able to figure out. How long has that milk carton been sitting out? Should I feed it to the baby or not? I don't know what's going to happen. So all this like unknown already that I don't really think about my marriage and think about what I want to add in is a lot more mystery and unknown because there's just so much already unknown. And then I want to tell you a story because of idealized and picturesque. Even just one. On the way here, I'm late. Obviously, I'm late usually everywhere that I go. But I literally was like walking out the door, and in the living room, one of my dogs, this is gross, I'm sorry, but one of my dogs likes to find diapers in the trash can and then pull them out and like, you know, tear them apart. And so I just have a diaper that's torn apart sitting in my living room waiting for me when I get home. That's not picturesque. And then the story that I thought about beforehand about having an idealized moment is just the other day, we were getting ready to go out to eat, and in one evening, I had all three girls in the tub because I was like, you know, I'm like, okay, like getting everybody's gonna get in PJs and we're gonna leave and all this kind of stuff. And then my youngest, who's 18 months, pooped in the tub with her two sisters in there, who are 6 and 4. So they know, and they are screaming and just, you know, all this is going on, and this is all just happening really quickly. So finally, I get everybody cleaned. And then clean the tub, which is weird, right? Because the tub's supposed to be clean. Then, like, sanitize everything. And then I finally walk out into the kitchen, and one of my dogs has literally pooped on the floor in the kitchen floor. And I'm like, you can't make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up. So definitely not idealized or picturesque. So I wanted to take a minute and, yeah, that's two cats pooping on the toilet. I guess there's, like, a poop theme, diapers, I don't know. Anyways, in the spirit of humor and community, kind of for your first table talk, if you don't mind, kind of sharing with each other, you know, a non-idealized moment that you've had in parenting, an element of marriage that leaves no mystery, or an event in daily life that is not picturesque. Is that how we do it? Let's go ahead and chat. Kind of icebreaker. Okay. I hope you guys, I heard a lot of laughing and I saw a lot of gesturing and a lot of laughing, and I think that's really good. That's good. That's hashtag motherhood. Does anyone have anyone that they want to share with the big group? You don't have to, but I did hear a lot of laughter. So if anyone has anyone they want to share, you can, but you don't have to. It seems like this table has one potentially that needs to be shared with the group. We can do it later. No worries. Okay. Awesome. So when we're looking at that and kind of that definition of romance, especially in marriage, as parents of young kids, another thing that stands out to me is sometimes the things that we need in our marriages and the things that we need in our daily life to function are actually kind of still the opposites of some of those things we were talking about beforehand. So this idea of mystery and all these questions, like you're saying, not only do we not want more unknown, but we actually need the opposite. I need a lot of understanding, a lot of clarity, and a lot of straightforwardness, especially in my marriage when we're trying to get some stuff done, you know? So it's like, we don't need mystery, no more question marks. Like, what time are you going to be here to pick this person up? Also, what time am I going to be here to talk? Who knows? But then also even this idea of, like, being not serious in a relationship and this sort of, like, romantic affair feeling. I mean, you need commitment and dependability when you're trying to build a family together, and especially, I think, with young kids and kind of the the unique demands that carries. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And then also, just as we touched on the idealized portion, a lot of days I really need authenticity and reality and reason, and even sitting with friends and saying, can you imagine that this thing happened? I can't even believe it. It was like from a TV show and it was my real life. But I need not idealized. I need to know that it's okay for things to be messy and gross and unpredictable. So I think that that's one of the things that when I was thinking about all this and thinking about how to keep this romance alive, I think it's really difficult when we start to ask ourselves that question. And so what I kind of think, and this is probably like a therapist-y thing, but I think that maybe we need to redefine romance, that it, at least for me, that definition way back on the other slide is not really working for me, and it only adds stress. So I think that it's a good thing to do anyways, because marriage is not static, our goals and our needs are always changing anyways, kind of as we go through different life stages. So I think it's really appropriate that we can reassess and say, okay, is this what we're looking for? And that we can redefine what it is that we're actually trying to cultivate and keep alive in our marriage. And you may have heard this before, but they talk about how important it is to really invest in our marriages, especially when we have kids, that one of the best things we can give our kids is a very solid foundation. And that's super exciting, but then also I feel like sometimes you're like, oh my goodness, when am I going to have time to do all this? And so I think that's part of it too. Also, I think during this phase with young kids, marriage is often not naturally prioritized, if that makes sense. You've got to really kind of go out of your way to make time and to give energy. And a lot of times I think it feels like work. And I think part of the idea of romance, right, we've been made to believe that that's not sexy. To work at something and to plan at something is not sexy. It's not romantic. It should be all spontaneous all the time. But it's kind of a lot of work sometimes, and that's okay. And we can redefine that. And then also kind of what we were talking about just a minute ago, we're short on time and energy, and we need to prioritize. And at the same time, that's also talked about not sexy, you know, like you should just be able to like, you know, run into the house and whatever. But sometimes it takes planning. It takes, forethought. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not romantic. So when I was thinking about this and I was polling a lot of my friends, which is fun too. I would text them and be like, what do you do to keep the romance alive in your marriage? I got some funny ones. But it was interesting because as I talked to them more about it, it was interesting to see how many things they were talking about could fall under the heading of connection, if that makes sense. That maybe what we're looking for and what we're really trying to keep alive in our marriage is some sort of connection. And again, it's not like a one-size-fits-all by any means, but I thought it was a good template to start to kind of draw off of this, of what do we really want to cultivate. So I was kind of thinking about it in four different ways: emotional connection, physical connection, mental connection, and spiritual connection. And so what we're going to do next, if that's okay, is I'm just going to go through, actually I think I have a table talk, but what we're going to go through, and we're going to kind of just talk about each one, some of the challenges that go along with those types of connections, and then some of the things that we can do. So next, do you mind taking a minute with also, I thought this was really funny. I like laughed out loud. I don't know what that means, but is your name Wi-Fi because I'm feeling a strong connection? I just thought it was funny. All right, anyways, so if you don't mind taking a minute in your tables to talk about what you feel like is difficult about maintaining these connections, specifically when you're parenting young kids, these, you know, emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual, and is there one that you feel like stands out to be the hardest to cultivate during this time? So talk amongst yourself. Okay, so if y'all could wrap it up for a second, which I kind of feel bad because these seem like great conversations, so keep these going later on because they sound really good. Anytime that you can chat with other people about things that are hard, it's good. All right, so we're going to start with talking about emotional connection, and let's see here. So I put up there beyond good logistical managers, because I think sometimes when I talk to people who are experiencing a lack of emotional connection, sometimes it can really feel like you're just two cruise ship directors who are, you know, making everything work on the Lido deck or whatever, or just running a lot of logistics together like a little company, but you've lost a little bit of that connection. That would be different than like your coworker, if that makes sense. And I think that's just really common. So one of the things is, I'll go through each one, and we're going to talk about what I think is really challenging about this specific stage with parenting young kids. And my whole goal in that is just to validate that I think it's really hard. And that's one of the reasons that I don't think I would have come to this talk, because I feel like it's just so hard, and it feels like coming to something like this and hearing all these things to do, like I talked about at the beginning, could be very overwhelming. So my whole goal in this, and you know, I'm a therapist, so I really like to validate. But this is to hopefully validate and make you feel like, you know what, maybe I'm not alone in this. Because if you do at times feel with your husband that you guys are just kind of like logistical managers, scheduling things and making a little company run, you're not alone. I hear that a lot. and have experienced that as myself. So kind of talking about that, going off of that, yeah, there is so much conversation on logistics and planning. And I think it's just very common sometimes, especially when you have, you know, multiple jobs or multiple kids or just anything else going on, family, friends, things that you're trying to all orchestrate at the same time. I think it's so many times I'll get to the end of the evening and realize, you know, the precious 30 minutes we had before I went to sit on the couch, because y'all, you know, that's for real. Like, I go sit on the couch and then I don't get up. The 30 minutes we had was spent on what time is this? Who's coming into town here? What are you going to do? Okay, but if you get off early here and I get off, you know, and then you leave, and it was a good conversation. Like, you worked well together as a team, but it was not necessarily emotionally connecting. And I think there's just so much logistical stuff going on at this age and stage that that it can be really time-consuming. Part of, I think, what's difficult about emotional connection is that your daily experiences can be so different. So, for example, if one person's working outside the home, or both people are working outside the home in two different jobs, and one person is at home with young children, it can be really hard to find things that are relatable during the day. That, you know, so-and-so went and did this and had all these meetings, and you're like, well, I've been sitting in spit up for the last, 6 hours, and I am wearing what I wore for 2 days, and it just feels very different and really hard to relate. Also, I think parenting young children can be emotionally draining. In a minute, we're going to talk about how it's really physically draining, but I think there's also an emotional portion of it being very draining. Reasoning with a three-year-old, right? I mean, that right there, like, that's all. That's all you got. And so it's very often that by the time you get to the end of the day, you're feeling that what you might have left over to try to emotionally connect with your husband has been spent. It's gone. And I think that's just part of parenting young kids. And then also part of it is, I think, from an emotional standpoint, having young kids, and especially with your first kid, or even with your third or seventh kid or whatever it is, it's already hard to process these new life stages and phases and your new roles and kind of what it looks like for you. Maybe you were working in a different aspect outside the home before you had kids, and this is looking very different, and that's even just hard to process for yourself, much less to share. And then even the roles that you're taking on in interacting with your kids, and the things that you're talking about and the things that you're trying to do, can be really hard to even just process for yourself, much less to then feel like at the end of the day, or even, you know, some other time, to really share that and to connect with another person. I think that's just really difficult. So what I'd like you to do is, I didn't bring any paper, so is it okay to write on the back of those yellow pieces of paper in the middle of the thing? Great. So will you please get one? And this is really, I'm like serious that you get to pick one. And if you try to pick more than one, we're not doing it, okay? So what we're going to go through now are some ideas and some things that maybe you can try. Oh, it's okay. Well, you're only going to have to write down a couple. Thank you so much. But, yeah, maybe. Because what I'm going to do is have you at least please try to just write down one thing from each of the four kind of, you know, emotional, mental, spiritual, et cetera. But just one thing. And then at the end, really, you're going to pick one out of all the four. Just one thing. That's it. I know I keep saying that over and over again, but I just really feel like that's the key to make it not overwhelming. And I think that that's more realistic sometimes, right? Like, if I leave thinking I'm going to do 9 new things, I'm probably not going to do any of them, but maybe one, you know? And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Well, at least that's what I do, but I don't know. Anyways, so I'm going to go over a couple of ideas and things that I feel like can help build emotional connection, and things that you can start to try to do. Some of them are big and some of them are small. If one stands out to you, write it down. Or at the bottom, I put choose your own. As we're talking and you're thinking, you're like, oh, I've wanted to do that. Write that down. That's probably more valuable than what I've got up here. So one of the big things is obviously dates. And date night or date time is very difficult. You know, you've got the scheduling again. You've got finances. You've got babysitters. You've got a lot of things to orchestrate. But I encourage you to get that time if you can. And they can be at home. The kids go down. You cook a nice meal. You try to close all the doors, and you go onto the back porch or something. That can still be considered date time, but just time that you're kind of separated out. I had a friend who told me, though, she was like, I really have to, even if we go to Chick-fil-A, she's like, I actually have to leave the house for dates, because when I'm still at the house, I realize that I'm not able to disconnect. And so paying attention to that, too. The main thing that I wanted to say about dates is it's a time for you to really think through what makes you feel emotionally connected, right? So, for example, I don't know if y'all are familiar with the five love languages. It's just kind of in a general idea of the way that we give and receive love through different things like acts of service and time and words of affirmation. So, for example, when you're thinking through dates and you know for yourself that the way that you give and receive love is through words of affirmation, maybe don't pick a movie where you're going to not talk to your spouse as your date that evening. You know, it's one thing when it was like pre-kids and you got to go on a lot of dates. And so, like, sometimes the movies were great. But if you're only getting one, make sure that you're trying to pack it full of the way that you really actually connect and the way that he really connects. Another idea is to do daytime dates. Sometimes that's been really helpful for people that I've talked to, even while the kids are at school. So to go grab lunch or to go grab breakfast. One, sometimes you have less childcare worries. Two, a lot of times it's cheaper, which is great. And three, a lot of times you're a little bit more awake than by the evening time. Also, while you're on your date, to try to make a concerted effort to talk about things other than the kids. Not that the kids are not important, and it's fun to kind of, you know, take a minute and share something, especially fun and funny, but to intentionally step back and try to disconnect in that moment. Another suggestion that someone gave me was that they once or twice a week will try to make a rule that there's no phones after the kids go to bed. And so also just kind of that prioritization and that intentional time of, okay, it's so easy, and I do that too. And I think there's an element that we need that, right? Like some days you just need to just veg out and just disconnect, and it's just, you know, mindless TV and these things. But once a week they try to have this, you know, no phones after kids are in bed and they play a game or they talk to each other or something like that. So kind of also like a mini date. The next one is, these are called love map questions. So I realize that that's not super helpful because it's a giant link. Write it down real fast, HTTP, you know. But if you go on there and you Google Gottman, G-O-T-T-M-A-N, and love map, this will come up. And so John Gottman is, actually a relational scientist, but I work a lot with the things that he's come out with in the marital therapy that I do, and I think he's got a lot of good stuff. This is one of the things that he does, and they're like little open-ended, very short questions. Some of them are very quick, like even like, what is your favorite color? And you can be like, blue. That's it. There you go. But some of them are a little longer, you know, like, where did you grow up? What was the favorite thing about the street that you grew up on? Or things like that. Things that you don't necessarily think to ask. And what he's shown in his research, that those little tiny touch points, even if they are just very small, like who was your favorite pet and all these little things, are actually building up relational capital, if that makes sense, and feeling connected and feeling known, even if they're very small. So these are ones that I tell people, too, are very easy to text during the day. You know, like just a really quick one. You can print them out. I think there's like 50, and then you just text them and ask each other these questions. The other good thing about these are that they're actually usually not conflictual, if that makes sense. They're usually not about a topic that you've had conflict about. They're usually meant about your own experience or something that happened in your life, which is good because you don't want to start a text fight because, no, I've done that. You don't want to do that. So kind of going off of this, basically, a lot of emotional connection, I think, is kind of in this quest to know and to show knowledge of each other, if that makes sense, and to show the other person that you're thinking about them even when they're not there. I think that that is one of the things that really builds emotional connection, and these are ways to do it, too. And then I said, again, texts or calls during the day. I talked to a couple of people who said that they just started to try, even if it was very brief, just to try to have that touch point, you know, some way midway through the day really helped, especially if they were apart for the whole workday. So that you felt like, okay, there was a little time in between that we just said, hey, how's it going? Or ask one of these little love map questions. And then by the time six rolls around, it's not like you've gone the whole day, if that makes sense. And then, of course, choose your own. So if you don't mind just taking a minute and writing down something that stands out to you. Again, I'm a broken record. One. You may pick one and write it down. And then we'll kind of keep going. And I'm going to have questions. I'll take time. If we have time, hopefully, I'll have time for questions at the end. So also, if you have a question about any of these things, I'm going to try to just go through them. And then at the end, feel free to ask me questions. Or violent objection. You can also write those down, too. Okay, so now we're going to start talking about physical connection, and I am a sex therapist, which is one of the reasons that I think that, you know, I'm here today, so I'm really excited to talk about this. I'm also wondering if some of you are starting to feel nervous. That's okay. It's all fine. It's all going to be okay. But especially around physical connection, I do think that this is one of the areas that often we can feel really guilty or start to feel shame or that something's wrong. And so I really encourage you, if you start to feel those things, pay attention, but then also try to let them go or talk with someone about them later on or something like that, because this is not the goal. The goal is not to feel guilt and shame. So physical connection beyond good roommates. I think that makes a lot of sense, right? Because you can even be good roommates. Right? You could even have like a great roommate relationship, and yet it's lacking that physical connection that you both want. So physical intimacy is particularly challenging because of the physical demands of parenting young children. If you look at any of the, you know, life, sex throughout the, you know, the life stages, etc., the time when you're parenting preschool age children is often what couples report as the hardest time to figure out what this physical intimacy and this sexual connection looks like during that time. I think there's a lot of different reasons for it, and these are some of them. One is just because of the physical demands of parenting young children, right? You're lifting car seats, and you're just, you know, toting people around, and potentially you're breastfeeding, and you got spit up and vomit on you, and there's just a lot of physical things that are part of your daily life that make it very hard at the end to transition and to feel like all of a sudden you're going to become like sexy pants at the end of the day when you have not felt like that all day. You know, you don't even feel like yourself, much less able to like transition to that. I think that that's just a very common thing and very normal. Also, in my work, we talk about fatigue being the number one sex killer, which makes sense, right? You don't want to have sex if you're tired, and especially if you're like dead tired, dead to the world, it's very difficult to have sex. And actually, physical exhaustion and interrupted sleep are just a very normal part of parenting young children. And so I think that's another thing that just makes it super challenging to find that physical connection. Also, as you know, children like to wake up and come into the bedroom at night. I mean, right? So I feel like that's another area of like, okay, then finally you get to the point where maybe you would like to, you know, connect, and then all of a sudden little feet in the hallway and you're like, well, there it goes. Or either feeling like you, you know, you need a lock on your bedroom door and you don't really know if it's really going to keep it locked. These are just things that happen when you have little kids. I think it can be difficult to figure out how to care for and feel good in your body when you have young kids. So sometimes maybe if you have, you know, given birth to your baby and you're not feeling exactly like you did before, or maybe there are some things that happened during that process that are just difficult to deal with. And even if you're just also just parenting young kids, finding schedules and time to work out or eat the way you want to or do the things that you used to do before can be really difficult. So I think it's only, you know, compounded then when you don't necessarily feel great in your body. You may not feel like yourself, really, and then you're feeling like you need to make this physical connection as well. I think that can just be really challenging. And then sometimes I think that physical connection and, you know, and intimacy can sometimes feel like the very last item on a very long to-do list of your day. And so, you know, it's in the back of your mind, and that might be what kind of comes up for you when we're talking about it. It's like, oh, I know I should be, you know, more willing or these things, right? But it just feels so at the bottom of what you've got to do in each day. And I feel like that is a very common and real feeling. So this is the part where we get to pick one, right? So these are things that I think that could potentially help. One is just a general, like trying to touch more during the day. Touch with your partner, physically actually touch. Not necessarily sexual touch, right? But just like having little touch points. So whenever he comes home from work, or maybe you get home from work, to get up and go over and give a hug, if that makes sense. And a lot of times that's really difficult because you're knee-deep in this other stuff. Maybe your hands are actually in the sink doing dishes or something. But to encourage yourself, okay, my one thing is going to be when I get home from work or when he gets home from work or whenever we see each other after a while, I'm going to try to physically come up and go give him a hug, if that makes sense. Holding hands when you're walking together. Because sometimes you are doing a similar activity or walking even to church on Sunday morning or dropping off someone here or there and then just trying to hold hands for a second. Because even though these are not super, you know, sexual or whatever gestures, it's still physical connection and it really does build. And, I mean, holding hands and all those good things, they do good things for your brain. You know. Anyways, sitting next to each other at dinner, I was kind of laughing at this myself because usually when we're sitting at dinner, it's sort of like, you know, you're trying to set up the man-to-man zone defense, you know, so you're like, you're at that end, I'm going to be all the way over here, and we're going to just like each take care of our own half of the table. But then you feel like at the end of it, you know, you didn't really even see the person, much less. And so every once in a while, just trying to sit next to each other at dinner, even if it's just small ways that you're sitting next to each other and your arms brush up against each other, that is still physical connection, people. That is what we're going for at this stage, and that's okay. And then the next kind of section is just giving yourself permission for physical intimacy and sex to look different now. And I say now, having young kids, than it did before. And because there's a lot of different things, like we talked about a minute ago, there's already a lot of differences. And giving yourself permission for those to be different and that to be okay. And to stop, in some ways, holding yourself to the standards or the expectations that you had maybe before you had kids. Because potentially then you did have an entire Saturday afternoon that you weren't doing anything, or that you were both off work, or that you could just kind of lay in the bed. No one lays in the bed now, so it's just very difficult. You know, it's just very different. So some of the suggestions people gave were, if possible, to try to connect in the daytime or the morning when you're less tired, and definitely depending on work schedules and what you've got, school schedules and things like that, that can be really difficult, but maybe try to brainstorm about that. Okay, is there a time when I'm less tired, when there's less going on, maybe even less people in the house? Is this a better time for us to try to make this connection? Now I'm going to talk about sex, and that's what this next one is. Rosemary Bassan is this lady. I really like her. You should Google her. I wanted to make a whole slide on this, but then I was like, Robin, this is not what it is. Anyways, but I will touch on it briefly if that's okay, and if you would like to talk about it, I will talk about this all day long. So basically, do y'all remember kind of the old, like, Masters and Johnson kind of sexual response cycle that's like, you know, you're like, you know, arousal, desire, climax, plateau. You know, have you seen this, like, this little chart, and that's what it's supposed to be like for everybody? Well, it turns out they're men, and they made that for men. Yeah. Yeah, turns out, right? Yeah, okay. And so Rosemary Bassan, who is a female and also researching sexual response, has actually come out with a different response cycle for women that makes a lot more sense. And I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people and been like, this is what, and women are, that's me. That's literally me. I've never done this, ever. This is not me, ever. And some people are, but a lot of times people will relate to aspects of what she's talking about. And one of the things that she is really saying, and I wrote it on here, being sex neutral is okay and healthy. So she has been doing a lot of research about female sexual desire, and that a lot of times what it looks like is almost what she calls a receptive desire. So that potentially you might just be walking around feeling sort of sex neutral. Not like you wake up in the morning and you're like, you know what I want to do today? Have sex. Or even on the opposite side. Sometimes there are on the opposite side. This is not what I want to do today, and that's okay too. But even just kind of this idea of kind of walking around in this sort of sex-neutral position, so that if you were approached, you know, at the right time and in the right way and, you know, these things, right, that you might be willing to have sex. And that is actually very normal and very okay. I think as women, we've been made to believe that our sexual desire should look like a man's, but it doesn't. And that's okay, and there's nothing wrong with you. And in fact, actually, that's exactly how you should be. So kind of some of that is under that same heading of giving yourself permission for that to look differently and for what it looks like for you to be, you know, having to desire sex might look different. Also, just side note, she, let me think about this for a second just to make sure that I say it correctly. So in her model, right, like, so we started like sex neutral, and if we're approached, or sometimes there's other sexual stimuli or something, and then you go around, and then actually sometimes for women, like for men, arousal and desire happens at the same time, right? They're aroused, they want to have sex, it's great, let's fire on a cylinder, let's go up the line. But for women, a lot of times, actually what can happen is that you start to actually feel arousal before you even feel desire, if that makes sense. So sometimes your body is already kind of moving in that direction, but your brain is still saying, we should not have sex, this is not what we should do. Does that make sense? You know? And so it's kind of this interesting thing where it's like, and then it's like, oh, okay, and then it kind of comes later on that you, sometimes she talks about, and I think I've talked to people, sometimes you're like having sex, and it's like, oh, I'm kind of glad this is good, we should be doing this more often. Like, oh, good, now I'm here, like, I'm actually present now. Like, it kind of took, like, we've already, you know, it's however much time in, and now I'm actually here. And that's very normal, too, and that's okay. And that on another day, when I get to do my whole slide about that, no, you don't want that, because like my nerding out, it is actually really neat, because in the way that God's designed it, it kind of keeps the cycle going, if that makes sense, the two. If we were all just like this, it would look very different. for one of us to go like this and one to go like this, it actually works really well together. Okay, I'm done talking about my that, but you should go Google it because it's really good. Okay, and then also just kind of giving yourself permission that kissing or touching without leading to intercourse is still connection. And kind of that's also what I was talking about beforehand, but that's something too that you can talk to with your spouse of like, okay, sometimes when you come in and I want to give you a kiss, I'm like worried because I only have 3 minutes. I've got 3 minutes. That's what I can give you. And so we can't go down this other road. And so is it okay to just kiss for 3 minutes and then goodbye, you know, and that's okay. Because there are so many time constraints about having young kids and things that you've got to do and continue on. And so having that conversation of, okay, what does that look like? And is that okay? Alrighty. So please pick one. Write it down, one that kind of stands out. If none of them stand out, that's okay too. But if one, you know, if something, or if you, it makes you think about something else that you're thinking about, you know what, I'd like to start trying to do this or think about this to increase the physical connection in my relationship. All right. So now we're going to talk about mental connection, which is actually interesting, right? Because I think when I first started thinking about what I was going to do, I was like, okay, emotional, physical, and spiritual, right? Because those kind of stand out to me. But then as I was thinking more and more, I was realizing there's a lot of things that I don't know, was running into that I think fall under mental connection. And I think there is a specific difficulty in mental connection with young kids. And so my little thing is conversation beyond diapers, lovies, and wildcats, right? Because I think that sometimes when we've gone from, you know, our phase of life before having young kids, it may have used a different, completely different part of our brain. That makes sense. You know, like maybe before you had kids, your life just looked really different. Maybe you were in school, maybe you were doing a job, maybe you were doing something else and volunteering in a big way, and it was just using completely different parts of your brain that now that you're raising young kids, and this is the next part, the mundane, the monotony, can sometimes start to really wear on us mentally, I think. And I think sometimes it can feel like less dynamic conversation, right? Because I feel like there's definitely days that I feel like, I keep saying I feel like, I'm a counselor, so that's part of it. You know, my husband will come home and say, well, what did you do today? And I'm kind of like, well, it's Groundhog Day. Every day is the same. I did, today is the same as yesterday. It was 15 minutes different, but we did everything the same that we did the day before. And that can be not only in a physical or an emotional toll, I think there's a mental toll that takes as well, if that makes sense. And then also feeling like, why would I want to tell you about my day? Why am I going to engage with you about this on a mental level when I'm talking about, you know, naps and oatmeal and things that are just not super dynamic. And then also just the general feeling less connected to current events or recent publications or things that you were able to keep up on beforehand, or you could sit and you could read or find out about more or listen to. And now that time is just not there anymore, and you're feeling like this piece of your brain that you used to feed on a regular basis is not being fed anymore. And so not only is it difficult to connect, but then you're also kind of like, okay, this thing that I really liked, I don't do anymore. So this was something that I used to talk to you about all the time, and we used to go on dates, and we used to talk about it, and it was really exciting. I haven't been able to read that in a long time, if that makes sense. So I think that that's just all very normal and part of, especially raising young kids. So here's the mental connection ideas. Pick one, again. One is to read a brief article and discuss, to think back to things that you used to discuss with your spouse, and is there something that's very brief, I mean real brief, like 2 pages, right, or something, or like a real quick article or one podcast that you can listen to and think, okay, I'd like to do that, and we're going to have a discussion about this. And it could be on your date night. See, all these can go together, right? Or date day, your date breakfast at Chick-fil-A. And then I would encourage you to tell about the events of your day, even if they are the same as the day before, right? So even if it does feel super mundane and monotonous, maybe talk about that and be like, you know what? My day looked exactly like it did for the last week, and I really need to talk about that because I'm in Groundhog Day. I'm trapped in a glass box, and I can't get out, you know? Oops, my battery. Pause 1 second. Yeah. Another one is to ask for feedback and support in a problem area at work or home. And so part of this, too, could be for him. Oh, look, this is all very handy. It's like you guys are made for presentations up here. All right, there we go. Yes. Ask for feedback and support in a problem area at work or home to problem solve together, right? There's a lot of things that you problem solve around with kids, but also to try to take that out a little further and problem solve about something else, something that's going on with a friend or with a family member or something, and really try to like think critically together, if that makes sense. One could be, this is after the kids go to bed, you could watch a movie or a play and discuss, right? So instead of kind of, don't get me wrong, I will watch Parks and Rec all day long, and there is some good conversation that comes from that. But maybe picking something of a different genre or something that would like is interesting or something that goes along with the current event and having a discussion about it. That can be done even after the kids go to bed. And then just in general, I find myself trying to, this is one that I really feel like I need to work on sometimes, is just the commitment to try to listen well. I feel like that is really difficult, right, because we've got so much stuff pulling at all of our attention. But every once in a while, again, this is not to feel like a burden, but every once in a while I'd be like, you know what, I'm going to just really listen. It could be for 5 minutes, but I'm going to really just try to tune everything out and listen to what you're telling me right now, and to try to make a commitment for that. And then also choose your own. So these are some ways that you can hopefully try to foster a little bit more mental connection in your relationship. So please write down one if you would like to, but you don't have to. Okay, and then we're going to talk about spiritual connection. So a lot of the things that I'm talking about when I was thinking about spiritual connection, I realized a lot of things that I just said that wrong. I think it's interesting because some of these things are things that are just difficult in your own spiritual life with the Lord, just the two of you. And then it only becomes more difficult when you're then trying to connect with another person, if that makes sense. So those are kind of the first things I'm talking about. One is that structured alone time with God may look really different now, right? So pre-kids, you had a lot more time, you had a commute, you had time in the morning that you could sit down, and now it feels really difficult to do that, or you'd have to set your alarm clock so early to get there that it's just very challenging to do that on a regular basis. And so that can also, I think that that's very normal, and you're trying to figure out your new groove and your new way that you're going to be able to put this in there, put that time in there, and it's just really difficult to connect then. Also, practically, children in nursery or in a service can make it hard to focus on a Sunday morning, right? So beforehand, you got to come, get your coffee, sit down, listen to the sermon, you know, worship and sing and do all these things, and now you're like worried about so-and-so, you know, getting called out of the nursery, or maybe your child is sitting next to you and you're trying to explain things, which also is very important, and also a spiritual connection, but a little bit different than it looked like before, right? So when you leave church on a Sunday, you may not be able to have lunch and talk about what you heard of the sermon because you might not have heard a lot of it, and that's just, you know, part of it. I put on here, closing your eyes for prayer only reminds you how tired you are. Right? I think that's true. Right? So you're like, I'm going to pray. And it's like, okay, either you fall asleep or you're just like, all I can think about is how tired I am right now. And I forgot what I was supposed to be praying for. So I think it's really difficult of things that, you know, your own prayer life can look really different now than it did before. And then how do you connect with your husband on that too is only another challenge. I think in general, there's less quiet time to hear from God, think, or be still, right? There's a lot of things I think previously, at least for myself personally, that I would hear from the Lord in quietness and stillness, and there is literally no quietness or stillness in my life right now, it feels. Except right at the end of the day when I sit on my couch, too, but that's a little bit different, right? Because it's like, it's not still. It's like dead exhaustion. It's not like stillness, like waiting. It's like, it's not a good place. So I think that that just looks really different, and it's also a challenge of this time. And then this is something that's kind of a connection thing. There's a lot of times different schedules with bedtimes and mornings now, right? So beforehand, there might be more time that you naturally were able to connect for, even if it was just a few minutes, you were at the same place at the same time. And now it can be, you know, one person's putting the kids to bed, one person's packing the lunch for the next morning, one person in the morning is trying to rush everybody out the door, the other person, you know, so it's very difficult to have those moments to sit down and pray, even if it's just for 2 minutes, or to just read something together, which maybe you were able to do before. So this is the part of spiritual connection, pick one. So one is to send an encouraging verse to one another via text, right? So just out of the blue, pick a verse that you think and just send it along, just knowing that that's something that you're sending back and forth to each other, thinking about what the other person might find encouraging that day from Scripture. Another one is to rediscover/redefine spiritual disciplines. And part of that is because prior to kids, a lot of our lives might have looked like carved out time where you're sitting with stillness and your Bible and being able to pray and read, and those are all very important, and you should keep trying to do those things, right? However, if you open up a book about spiritual disciplines, those two are in there and they're super, super important, but there's like 10 more, you know? And there are so many other things that I think that we can try to incorporate into our lives that aren't necessarily that sitting down time all the time. And things that, ways that the Lord can be meeting us that are outside of that. And I put that in tandem to the next one, which is parenting is spiritual formation, right? So there are a lot of other spiritual disciplines and a lot of other spiritual richness that we that are coming across our door all day long as parents, right? Patience, that's one, right? That's my big one, patience. But also, even if you are missing out on some of the sermon because you're talking to your child during the service about what this is, why people are holding up their hands or what's going on, that is part of spiritual formation, and I think there is really a sweetness there. And so some other things is, I think it might look differently, but kind of trying to rediscover or open our eyes to new ways that the Lord might be meeting us. That looks different now. In general, just kind of sharing prayer requests with each other. So even that can be over email or text if you need it to be, because sometimes it is difficult, but kind of like, okay, I'm going to intentionally be like, you know what, could you really be praying for me about this? And I would love to pray for you about this. I think that's one of the things that's really difficult. Now, if you're not having time to sit down together, it may not be naturally occurring as much. Maybe joining a small group together, especially one that might have a childcare option or might meet during a time that would be good. That could be something you're like, hey, we're going to try to connect spiritually, and I think that joining a small group could be really good. Praying together with the kids before bedtime. So just deciding, okay, even though the dishes need to be done and the lunches need to be packed, maybe just a couple nights a week or one night a week, really, we're all going to go and we're all praying together with the kids at bedtime. And it's something kind of small, but it's another touch point for that spiritual connection, and something that you can try to put into your weekly life as, you know, but on those nights, we pray together, not only as a family, but even as a couple in for our marriage. And then also choose your own. So, you know, anything that makes you think of. Okay. Pick one thing. Oh, did I say that before? What? Okay. No. Really, now look at your four things. And I want you to mark three of them out, like an X. Because some of you, I know, when I say pick one thing, you're really going to go home with four things. No, you're going to go home with one thing, truly. Go home with one thing, look at the four things, and then pick one thing. And I kind of thought about this, but I didn't get it together before because I am who I am. But you could even consider sharing it with your spouse as a Valentine, right? You know, like, hey, I heard this random talk about connection and romance. And this is one of the things that I'm going to really be trying to do in the next couple of weeks to connect. And so, I don't know, I think that would be kind of fun. So really, truly, just try to pick one thing. Okay, so kind of wrapping up, I also want to say part of what I wanted to validate, right, was it's just really hard, and that's normal. It's just really hard to find that connection, to keep that romance alive, especially when parenting young kids. So it's okay if it takes time to figure out what works. So if you go home and you try this and you're like, this is not feasible. This is stressing me out. This is making me less restful. This is terrible. Why did I write this down? Why was this my one thing? Just scrap it. That's like just, you know, just go. Keep going, right? It's okay if it takes time. You might need to try out a few things. And okay, but texting during the day is just, it's not helpful. And it's really disrupting more than it's helping. Try something different. That's okay. And I just, this is also a little therapy, but I always encourage people, it's okay to ask for what you need, right? And especially in marriage, you can ask for what you need. So if you're going over these things and one of them you're thinking, you know what, this is not something I want to do, but this is something that I really need. It would mean so much to me if my spouse knew and did this. Go home and share that and say, you know, look, I realized when we were talking that if you sent me a text telling me that you're praying for me, that would just really make me feel connected. That would really feel like a good touch point for me. XYZ, whatever it is. And then also, if you don't know what would be most meaningful to your spouse, you can ask him. Same thing, right? So maybe you do go home with your four things. This is the only way that you can go home with four things if you then ask him to pick one. But you go home with your four things, right? And you say, are any of these things that stand out to you that really feel like this would help us to feel more connected during the day and during our weeks? And then kind of finally, just an encouragement that keeping connection alive in marriage is hard work, especially during this stage, but it's definitely worth it, and it's a gift that you can give to yourselves and to your families, and it's really worthwhile. So then I'm going to end with just this quote. I haven't even looked at the time. Are we doing okay? All right. This is a C.S. Lewis quote. It's kind of long, but I'm going to read it. But of course, ceasing to be in love need not mean ceasing to love. Love in the second sense, love as distinct from being in love, is not merely a feeling. It is a deep unity maintained by the will and deliberately strengthened by habit, reinforced by, in Christian marriages, the grace with which both partners ask and receive from God. Being in love first moved them to promise fidelity. This quieter love enables them to keep the promise. It is on this love that the engine of marriage is run. Being in love was the explosion that started it. And I really love that quote. But I think it's also, when I was reading this, thinking about the way that it's very affirming of that second, quieter kind of love, right? The romance, the spark, all the flames, all the questions, right, is a lot of times what we hear and what we are made to believe that we have to keep alive in our marriages. But especially the way, I love the way that he puts that, that this is the quieter love that really is the engine of marriage. And that's okay.
That was so, so helpful, Robin. Thank you so much for coming. It's great. I remember when my oldest was in eighth grade, a couple in our class got pregnant with their, I think, sixth child. And they weren't necessarily planning on six, but they were really excited. And I hadn't thought about this, but their daughter, who was in my son's class, was like, "Oh, my gosh, all of my friends know what y'all have been doing now. This is so embarrassing. How am I going to tell them that you are pregnant? Don't come to the school this year." Like, and I thought, I said to her, I went, "Oh, you're right. That never dawned on me." But her daughter managed to get over it. I was like, "It's all right. They all do know now that this happens." So it was just so funny that her daughter was so embarrassed. "My friends know what you and Dad are doing. I'm so embarrassed." So that's just a little thing for the future. If you want a large family, your older kids end up knowing, and so do their friends. But they do all know, which is good, because eventually you have to gradually start having all those talks with them. But that was so, so helpful. Thank you. And I remember when my kids were young, and my husband and I didn't have any mentors in this area, so we weren't raised in Christian homes. So trying to figure it all out on our own sometimes was hard. But I found myself sometimes when I really didn't want to be touched for days, maybe. I had to read Song of Solomon before he would come home, and I had to just pray sometimes, "God, let me be in this moment with him, so that we can reconnect, because we need it, you know, and I knew we needed it." So just that, because God wants us to have good connection in our marriage, so sometimes it did just take me praying, "Please let me be here for him and connect with him and let him know how much I do love him, so that he doesn't feel alone every night when he comes in and I'm cooking dinner and taking care of two little ones." So just remember, God is for your marriage and for that connection, and he wants to be a part of it and be in it with you to help you remember your husband and for him to be able to listen to you and your needs. So anyway, thank you, Robin, and we might be calling you again. Y'all, you've got these yellow slips of paper on your table. I just want to go over some things real quickly. We have switched around our March schedule from the original handout. On March 1st, it is just going to be a time for y'all. Come, we're going to have breakfast. Y'all put your kids in childcare. Come up here and just hang out with each other and talk. And be free for a little while and relax. That's what we want for y'all. We have switched our March 29th and March 15th topics. March 15th now is going to be Dara McGuire talking about healthy emotions. And March 29th will be on your children's love languages. And after the March 29th meeting, we're going to end at 11:15 that day for you to go downstairs, get your kids, and meet us out on the patio. We are going to have an Easter egg hunt for them. Our communications department is sponsoring it. We're really excited about it. The church, y'all are actually like a test market, because next year we are partnering with the city of Johns Creek to host
their Easter egg hunt. So we're very excited, and the communications department, community outreach, and us and young families, we're very excited to try it out on y'all. So be ready to enjoy that day. And also that day, be thinking ahead, because it will be a great day to invite a friend. So if there's a neighbor you've been wanting to reach out to, think about inviting them that day. And I think that is it. Let me pray to close us, and then you've got 10 minutes before you have to get your kids. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for marriage, for the unity that you've given us in our marriages, God, and for how you created a woman to be her husband's helpmate. And God, thank you for the unity and the closeness that you bring in our physical connection with our husbands, God. Would you encourage each woman as she leaves here today in her role as mother and spouse? God, would you give each one of them an extra measure of strength for the day? Lord, would you give each woman in here the words to communicate with her husband what she needs and what would make their intimate time better? God, would you just strengthen every marriage in this room, God, so that they can be a light to the world for who you are and the unity that we have with Christ. God, would you make every marriage in this room strong for the nurture of their children to be in a secure home. God, we love you and thank you for your plan for marriage and the reflection it is of your bride, the church, with Christ. God, we love you and thank you that you give us the strength to be who you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.